Well, ladies, welcome back. We're in our Bible study segment with our teacher, Connie Stample. Connie, welcome back.
Thank you, Amy.
Well, lesson number 39 is from Genesis 26, talking about God's promises. What are we going to learn today?
Well, it's more of Isaac's life, and we're really going to see, I think, some parallels between his life and Abraham's life, because some of the same things happen.
Yes, they do. Well, why don't we start? I will read, and Connie will teach. We're in Genesis chapter 26 today, if you'd like to open there. And it says this, "Now there was a famine in the land besides the former famine that was in the days of Abraham. And Isaac went to Gerar to Abimelech, king of the Philistines. And the Lord appeared to him and said, 'Do not go down to Egypt. Dwell in the land of which I shall tell you. Sojourn to this land, and I will be with you and will bless you. For to you and your offspring I will give all of these lands, and I will establish the oath that I swore to Abraham your father. I will multiply your offspring as the stars of heaven, and will give to your offspring all these lands, and your offspring and all the nations of the earth shall be blessed, because Abraham obeyed my voice and kept my charge, my commandments, my statutes, and my laws.'"
Yes, and so here the Lord is appearing to Isaac, and he's repeating those same gracious words of promise he'd given to Abraham about God being with him, about God blessing him, about multiple offspring, about the land, and then that beautiful one that applies to you and I, it's about in your offspring all the nations of the earth shall be blessed. And then he's reminding Isaac of Abraham's growth in faith and faithfulness and obedience, because Abraham obeyed my voice. And
yeah.
So it's a reminder, this is what you need to do also. You need to obey my voice. Interestingly enough, we've got a famine. So even though Isaac has God's promises, life is not easy. He has a famine. He has to move. He's thinking about going to Egypt. The Lord appears to him and says, don't go to Egypt.
Yeah.
Abraham did, but Isaac is not supposed to. And so now Abraham is dwelling near the Philistine, or Isaac is dwelling near the Philistines, and we're going to find that's a problem again for him. But I would really say this is a chapter about the testing of Isaac and how his faith is going to grow as he encounters these difficulties. So if we go on, we're going to find some more difficulties for Isaac.
Yeah, and this next section is going to sound really familiar if you've been following along and listening to us talk about Abraham. Starting in Genesis 26, verse 6, "So Isaac settled in Gerar. When the men of the place asked him about his wife, he said, 'She is my sister.' For he feared to say, 'My wife,' thinking, 'Lest the man of the place should kill me because of Rebekah, because she was attractive in appearance.' When he had been there a long time, Abimelech, king of the Philistines, looked out of a window and saw Isaac laughing with Rebekah, his wife. So Abimelech called Isaac and said, 'Behold, she is your wife. How then could you say, she is my sister?' Isaac said to him, 'Because I thought, lest I die because of her.' Abimelech said, 'What is this you have done to us? One of the people might easily have lain with your wife, and you would have brought guilt upon us.' So Abimelech warned all the people, saying, 'Whoever touches this man or his wife shall surely be put to death.'"
Oh, Amy, thank you. And here, like Amy reminded us, we've seen this actually twice before in Abraham's
yes.
life, once in Egypt and once with Abimelech of the Philistines. Perhaps not the same person, because Abimelech might actually just mean king, like Pharaoh does or whatever. Mm-hmm. But here we have Isaac there. He has a beautiful wife. And so he tells her to say that she's his sister rather
yeah.
than man and wife. And I think God is intervening once again, because Abimelech just happens to glance out and sees Isaac perhaps caressing Rebecca or somehow acting like a man and a wife. And he immediately picks up on the fact that they're not just brother and sister.
Yeah.
And so he calls Isaac in and he says, "Why have you done this?" And so again, we find one of the patriarchs not acting in faith, because if they truly trusted God was going to take care of them, he would not need to be deceptive.
Yeah.
There's another aspect to it, because it says Isaac and Rebecca were laughing. And then remember that Isaac's name means to laugh. And so there's a play on words here that's a mockery of God's promise to him. And it's a mockery of Abimelech, who trusted him and allowed him to dwell there. So again, not a great story as far as acting in faithfulness, but one I think Isaac is going to grow from. So he was tested here, and he had this fear of death because of Rebecca. But going on, we're going to find that the Lord is going to bless him and reveal more to him.
All right, let's pick it up in verse 12. And Isaac sowed in that land and reaped in the same year 100-fold. The Lord blessed him. And the man became rich and gained more and more until he became very wealthy. He had possessions of flocks and herds and many servants, so that the Philistines envied him. Now the Philistines had stopped and filled with earth all of the wells that his father's servants had dug in the days of Abraham his father. And Abimelech said to Isaac, "Go away from us, for you are much mightier than we." So Isaac departed from there and encamped in the valley of Gerar and settled there. And Isaac dug again the wells of water that had been dug in the days of Abraham his father, which the Philistines had stopped after the death of Abraham. And he gave them the names that his father had given them. But when Isaac's servants dug the valley and found there a well of spring water, the herdsmen of Gerar quarreled with Isaac's herdsmen, saying, "The water is ours." So he called the name of the well Esek, because they contended with him. Then they dug another well, and they quarreled over that also. So he called its name Sitnah. And he moved from there and dug another well, and they did not quarrel over it. So he called its name Rehoboth, saying, "For now the Lord has made room for us, and we shall be fruitful in the land." From there he went up to Beersheba, and the Lord appeared to him the same night and said, "I am the God of Abraham your father. Fear not, for I am with you and will bless you and multiply your offspring for my servant Abraham's sake." So he built an altar there and called upon the name of the Lord and pitched his tent there. And there Isaac's servants dug a well.
All right, so we find here that, one, God is blessing him in the land, and when he reaped 100-fold, that was a superabundance, especially in that time. And so here we find that Isaac is humble, and he moves away from them, and he digs wells, and then he quarrels over the wells with the Philistines. And so Isaac just continues to move and not fight and do what I think would honor God. And we find then he finally digs a well in Rehoboth, and that says broad place or enough room. And so he's finally found a place where he can settle. And here the Lord appears to him again, and he says, "I am the God of Abraham your father. Fear not, for I am with you." And that's an important word, because several times God is going to be referred to as the fear of Isaac. And so we have definite evidence that Isaac feared God and came to know him. His faith looked a little bit different than Abraham's faith. He might have been a little quieter about it, but he definitely had a faith in God. And so God again promised to bless him. And then in verse 25, we find out that Isaac's response was he built an altar, he called upon the name of the Lord, and he pitched his tent there. And so a beautiful illustration of how he's growing in the Lord, and he's finding God to be faithful. And then we've got a little bit more in the chapter.
Yeah, let's pick it up in 26. When Abimelech went to him from Gerar with Azuzeth, the advisor, and Phicol, the commander of his army, Isaac said to them, "Why have you come to me, seeing that you hate me and have sent me away from you?" They said, "We see plainly that the Lord has been with you. So we said, let there be a sworn pact between us, between you and us, and let us make a covenant with you so that you will do us no harm, just as we have not touched you and have done you nothing but good and have sent you away in peace. You are now the blessed of the Lord." So he made them a feast, and they ate and drank. In the morning, they rose early and exchanged oaths, and Isaac sent them on their way, and they departed from him in peace. That same day, Isaac's servants came and told him about the well that they had dug, and said to him, "We have found water." He called it Sheba. Therefore, the name of the city was Beersheba to this day.
Yes, and so here we see again a mirror of some of what happened to Abraham, because Abraham had a well in that same place and called the same thing Beersheba, and he'd made a covenant with the Abimelech of his day. Here we find that Abimelech comes to Isaac and says, "We see that plainly that the Lord has been with you." And they desire a covenant with Isaac because of the Lord's blessing, which we knew was going to happen from God's promises to them. I admire Isaac from in the way he said, why have you come to me seeing that you hate me and have sent me away from you? He's being frank with them, and then they explain why. It's because the Lord has blessed him. And then they say something that's not true, because they said, we have not touched you and have done nothing but good to you. And that is not true, because they've just had all this conflict over wells and all. But anyway, Isaac is gracious. He has a feast with them. He makes a covenant, and they live in peace. And so God, again, is blessing Isaac. Interestingly enough, this chapter ends with one just little short note, which we have to talk about.
All right, and it ends with verse 34. We're going to Esau now. When Esau was 40 years old, he took Judith, the daughter of Beeri the Hittite, to be his wife, and Basemath, the daughter of Elon the Hittite, and they made life bitter for Isaac and Rebekah.
Okay, so here we have a little bit different situation. We know that when it was time for Isaac to have a wife, Abraham sent his servant back to his homeland from his own people to obtain Rebekah to be Isaac's wife. But here we have Esau going off on his own and marrying two Hittite women, two Canaanite women. And so he is doing things in his own way for his own purposes, the way he wants to. And then we find also that these two pagan wives made life bitter for Isaac and Rebekah.
Wow. Oh, well, Connie, thank you so much for teaching this chapter. And ladies, there's a lot more to be learned through the Bible study lesson notes, and you'll find those today at our website, naomistable.com. Look for Genesis under the Bible Studies tab, and you'll find all sorts of resources there, including the recordings of these lessons that you can play with ladies around your own table as you go through these guides together, if you like. All right, we're going to take a break. When we come back, Nancy will be back with me, and we'll talk a little bit more about how we can apply some truths to what we just heard.